I noticed that Madan mentioned at the end of her lecture, Shitat Rashi, that at Har Sinai, Beit Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael were invited. And Rashi Shita is the men and the women. Everyone's going to quote that today. But one thing which is cute, there's a very simple difference between the mitzvah to remember. We can't hear them. I need a mic. Is that better? Okay, I'll start again. There's a mitzvah to remember our exodus from Egypt, and there's a mitzvah also to remember Mamad Har Sinai, Shavuot. But the classic difference between them, on Pesach, remember what happened. We remember the experience and learn from it. On Shavuot, we try to relive it. We don't remember what happened. Every day is like Mamad Har Sinai. The same is Drasha and B'yom HaZeh. So if our attempt is to relive Mamad Har Sinai, then the event today, the pre-Shavuot event, where Beit Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael are together, standing in Har Sinai together, learning Torah, hopefully we'll have a certain fulfillment, the kiyum, of that idea. Before we start the shir, I want to begin with a question which will lead us through the shir. If someone asked you, the Ten Commandments, who are they for? Not who are they given to, but who are they for? Are the Ten Commandments for the Jewish people? Or are the Ten Commandments for all mankind? In other words, the Ten Commandments themselves, are they universal or particular? Who needs to keep them? Just the Jewish people or all mankind? What would your good answer be? We'll take a vote. Who says they're universal for all mankind? Right, yeah. And who says they're only for the Jewish people? Okay, it's usually almost, inevitably, it's half and half. Now, someone who said they're universal, in 10 seconds or less, explain me why you said they're universal. Just speak louder than I am. My voice will come back a little.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. You can do simple math. Everyone knows there's only 7 Noahide laws and there's 10 commandments. So it can't be for all, it can't be universal because we're minus 3. Even though there's about 57 Noahide laws. And about 100 Tanakh mitzvot. Okay, so any other reason why it's universal for sure? I mean, why it's only, you said why it's only for Am Yisrael. Yeah? Who says why it's universal? Where does it say that? Moshe is supposed to give these laws to all mankind?
We are supposed to give
the laws. We'll discuss that topic a little bit later on. Yeah?
This is just facts on the ground, not a priori, but the fact is they spread under Christianity and
Islam. No, I'm something real basic. In a gut reaction, why would you think the Ten Commandments are universal? Oh, that's why it makes sense. It's for Am Yisrael. I'm the guy who took you out of Egypt. Yeah?
Actually, I thought you said that it wasn't, but now I'll say why it can be. Because God tried to give it to other nations before he tried to give it.
Okay. You're working what I call backwards. You're taking a beautiful Midrash Chachamim, which is based exactly on the problem behind this question, who are they for? But based on the Midrash, what's that saying? They should have been for all mankind? But what was God looking for? Was God looking for people to accept it, or God looking for nations to represent him? You understand the difference? When God's going from nation to nation to look for someone to accept him, does he want all mankind to accept him? Or is he looking for one nation to accept him? You follow? We'll return to it later on. Yeah, what other, last one? Oh, perfect. I was waiting for that. I'll explain what she said. Everyone knows for some reason that a goy can't keep Shabbat. Who's heard of that? And everyone even knows the joke, don't they? The joke is about the convert who's learning to become Jewish. Everyone knows that one? It's a famous one. I'll just do it in 2 seconds. In 2 seconds, I'll do the. There's a convert learning to become Jewish. And there's a law that a goy can't keep Shabbat. So his chavrus and yeshiva is telling him every week, you can't keep Shabbos because otherwise you're chayv mitan. You're not allowed to keep Shabbos. He says, don't worry, I'm a challah Shabbos every week. So 1 week he watches him the whole time. And then he sees at the end of Shabbos, he says, listen, I watched you all Shabbos. You didn't do one malacha. He says, that's not good. He says, I did a malacha. He says, what'd you do? He says, I carried. said, and no kidding. He says, that's no good because there's an Erev. So what did they? I don't hold from that. That's an old one. Now, what I want to do in this year is simple. Right? I'm using that question in the beginning to clarify the question, what's so special about the Ten Commandments? And I want to begin with, who are they for? It seems like they're from, it sounds like they're from Israel. I'm the guy who took you out of Egypt. But the question, what exactly are these commandments? Or are they for all mankind? So let's go through them one at a time and try to figure it out. The first commandment, let's assume that's to believe in God. That's pretty much accepted. Is that universal? To believe in God, universal?
Okay.
Now, you can also believe in God that he took Am Yisrael out of Egypt. No, the laws are given to Am Yisrael, but who are they for? So if the first commandment is a belief in God, that's universal. The second commandment, not to believe in other gods. Against idol worship. Universal?
Yes.
I think it's even one of the seven. Okay. The third commandment, not to say God's name in vain. Is that universal?
No.
There's an exception for basketball players. But other than that, why wouldn't it be universal? Is it okay to curse and say God's name in vain? Oh. So that should be universal. Shabbat we have to return to. Is there a logical reason why a goy can't keep Shabbat? Everyone knows that. That a goy can't keep Shabbat. We had the best reason. Otherwise we'd be in trouble. Who's going to wash the dishes? What? Yeah.
Huh?
In 40 minutes we'll have an answer. Okay, we'll get to that then. That's not the Ten Commandments. Okay. But it's Shabbat. We'll see, there's so many different kinds of Shabbat. Now, back to, we'll skip four. Five, honoring parents. Any reason why it shouldn't be universal? Okay. Lo Tirtzach. It depends how you translate it. If it means not to kill or not to murder. You know the machloket between Christians and Jewish translations. Never know that, it's so simple. Jewish translations do not murder. Christians do not kill. That's hashkafa, you follow? I don't want to give a class in the wrong religion, but there's... Sometimes you have to kill. You can't murder, but sometimes there's a need. There's a need to kill. Some religions hold, no matter what, you never, take the other cheek. But you, no matter what, you can't kill. You forgive everybody. Right, that's a whole topic, but it's cute. Next commandment. Not to... What's the next one? Not to... Universal? Up until the 20th century, it was universal. Okay. What's the next one? Lo Tignov? Definitely for going. Jews have a problem. but that should be universal, correct? Not to swear falsely in court? Universal. And Lo Tachmod? Not to covet? It depends. If not to covet means actually to do something and take something, then the question what's it about? But it would be universal. If it's only not to think about doing something, that's not human. It's impossible. So that's a difficult one. Hopefully we'll have time to return to that as well. But if you understand what I went through, it seems like they're for all mankind. So why are they giving time to Israel? You understand? I don't want to solve the problem yet. I just want to bring up the issue. What's so special about them? Who are they for? Are they for all mankind? Or are they just for God's people? Question, quick question.
You're picking Christians and Jews. Now, the Christian religion comes from the Jewish religion. We're not taking all the pagans.
I was just saying that on the side. I should have gotten into that.
No, but you know what I mean? You're not taking all these other people who don't accept most of these
laws. No, I'm asking in theory. Just in pure theory, does it make sense that these laws would be for all mankind? I'm not asking that everyone accept them. Is that clear? I'm not saying which religions accept them or not. I'm just asking, are these laws, the way they're being presented, they appear to be universal. There's no logical reason why they wouldn't be universal. Why wouldn't God want everyone to honor their parents? Why wouldn't want everyone not to kill and steal? Shabbat we have a problem with. But what's so bad about a day of rest for everybody? We're going to read about it. So now I want to go to the title. Like, why 10? It's why 10 commandments? I want to begin with a little story in Sefer Shemot, right after the 10 commandments. And I want to show you that if I take Chumash in what's called Pshuto Shemikra, if I just follow the story, it looks like the reason we end, it looks like the reason why there's 10 commandments is totally almost accidental. Take a look. We won't reach that conclusion, but that's what it sounds like. Look in source 1 after the 10 commandments are over. If you can hear in the back, we're good. After the 10 commandments are over, in Pasuk Yudalit, on the source sheet in Shemot Perachav, if you have a regular Tanakh, it's probably Pasuk Tetvav. V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot v'et ha'lapidin v'et kol ha'shofar v'et ha'har ha'shem v'yad kol ha'am v'yinu v'yamdu me'rochok. Everyone hears, like, all the theatrics, and the people get scared and stand back. V'emru ha'moshe daber ha'taymanu v'nishma v'al yedaber imanu Elohim penamut. What do the people ask Moshe to do? Moshe, we don't want to hear from God. We want to hear from you. And Moshe begs them, you know, don't go away. And the people, last pasuk, in pasuk Yitzayin, Bayamod ha'am mirochok, the people stayed at a distance. Moshe nigash el rofeo asher shem Elohim. And then that's followed by Parshat Mishpatim. If I keep Chumash in order, and I take this story literally, why did the Ten Commandments stop with Lo Tachmod? The people got scared. And let's say they didn't get scared. God's got another 600. Right? You follow? Yeah. Some people say the real reason they got scared was because of Lo Tachmod. That's what really scared them. But if I take the story literally and follow the flow of Chumash and keep it in order, it seems like it's a very incidental reason that I stopped at 10. And God would have kept on going. Let's say Bnei Yisrael did not become fearful. And they remained in Har Sinai and didn't get scared. If I keep Chumash in order, I would have to reach my conclusion that stopping after Lo Tachmod was simply incidental. Now, let me explain, even though that sounds nice, I'll explain to you why that can't be. To do that, we have to skip the Sefer Dvarim, which is going to be the next source, and which will get us into the main part of the shir. In Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving one of his speeches. This is the end of his first speech. He's talking to Bnei Yisrael to remember the day of Mamad Har Sinai, or not to forget what happened in Mamad Har Sinai. These psukim, the Ramban counts as a mitzvah. That when he argues with the Rambam, the Ramban counts a mitzvah to remember, or not to forget, the day of Mamad Har Sinai. So we'll begin with Pasuk Tet. It says, Rak yishamer lecha, ushmor nafshcha mo'od, pen tishkach et dvarim asher ro'u inecha, pen yizru mevavcha, ko yimechayecha, v'odatem levanecha lifnei benecha. Remember what happened? Yom asher marata lifnei Hashem Elohecha, v'chorev, etc., etc. Remember what happened at Har Sinai. Skip to Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Bet. Vaydaber Hashem aleichem mitoch ha'esh, kol dvarim atem shomim, v'tmona etchem ro'im zulat yikol. God spoke to you from the fire, the Ten Commandments. Yud Gimel, listen carefully. Vayaged lechem et brito, asher tziva etchem lasot, aseret hadvarim. Vayechtevim Hashem luchot avanim. What's Moshe Rabbeinu explaining in his speech? That these ten, what we call the Ten Commandments, are a distinct set of mitzvot, and what's he call them? Vayaged lechem et brito. Moshe doesn't call them the Ten Commandments. Moshe Rabbeinu calls them, these are the terms of a covenant. And this covenant has 10 dvarim, 10 statements. Now, there's a terrible mistranslation into Hebrew here. What should Chumash say here? What should it say for the Ten Commandments? It should be aseret. In proper Hebrew, it shouldn't be aseret ha-dvarim, it should be aseret ha-mitzvot. No, but it should be commandments. Why is it mistaken Chumash? Why is it say dvarim? Why doesn't it say mitzvot? But who mistranslated it this way? I'm joking. We mistranslate it into English. The Ten Commandments are not Ten Commandments. They're 10 statements. Dibrot, we call them the Dibrot. There's about 18 mitzvot. if you count them up. There's not one person who counts the ten, who counts the tariq mitzvot, who counts only 10 here. There's way more than 10. Check it out one time. But they're 10 dibrot, they're 10 statements. Not only are they statements, what does Moshe Rabbeinu call them? This is a brit. We talk about this every year at the Seder when we start asking who knows one, who knows two. What's the Hebrew answer to who knows two? The English translation is bad there also. Two isn't the... It's not the tablets of Moshe brought. It's the tablets of Moshe broke. What? Luchot HaBrit. What's written on the Luchot is a covenant. Why are these called a covenant? If this is a covenant, it has to be between God and His people. You follow? What's covenantal about these laws? What we have to understand in the shir today, what makes what we call the Ten Commandments, Chazal call Aser Tadibrot, what makes them covenantal? How do they relate to a covenant? And what covenant is it talking about? Every covenant has two sides. Therefore, it has to be particular. But the laws seem to be universal. So, and what makes these laws different? Are they the most important laws? Is there something cardinal about them? All the opinions of what's the most important pasuk in Chumash. This Vavta L'Recha Kamocha, remember? Or Et HaKefes Echad Teaseh B'Boker. They're not the Ten Commandments. If you follow the Rambam, which pretty much goes in importance order, he didn't start with the Ten Commandments. Some of them are there, but not all of them. Shabbat is until, you know, 200-300 something till we get to Shabbat. What I will need to do now in this year is try to understand what's the connection between Brit, between covenant, and these commandments. And now we can start this year. To do that, we have to trace the concept of covenant from the beginning of Chumash to appreciate what happens at Har Sinai. So it's pretty simple, but I'll throw out the question. When's the first time in Chumash that we have a concept of a covenant? Not Brit Ben Avtar, before that. By Noah. What's the... What do we call that covenant?
The rainbow.
Yeah, it's called the rainbow covenant. In Hebrew, Brit HaKeshet. Everyone's familiar. What I want to show you now, we're going to look at Brit HaKeshet, and we're going to see other Britot in Breshit and Shemot, and we're going to see how Chumash uses almost identical wording to describe these covenants. Is the covenant the rainbow, from what you remember? Yeah. The covenant is not the rainbow. The rainbow is a oak brit, the sign of the brit. What's the covenant? Let's take a look. Take a look in section C, source number 3. First, we get a commandment for who? This is the last of the Noahide commandments. That's universal, isn't it? Then, right afterwards, Pasuk Aleph is key, and remember this phrase, the phrase there. Vakimoti et briti itchem, v'lo ye ol mabud ashechet haaretz, v'im ralim, zot ot habrit asher ali noten ben yu benechem, et kashti natati banan, v'hayta lo ot brit ben yu ben haaretz. The rainbow is the reminder, it's a sign of the covenant. What's the covenant here? Do you follow? What God's covenant is, no more flood, but I like to call no more reset button. No more reset. God's saying, been there, done that. Chazal said even better. What did Chazal say? What was God doing before Chumash? He was creating and destroying. That medrash is so deep. You have to take it seriously, not literally. That's a drash exactly on this covenant. And the theme of Chumash. What did God do? God created, Perek Aleph, Perek Bet, He created a beautiful world. Who messed up? Man, everything messed up. What did God decide to do? Start over again. Why did He pick Noah? For what purpose? In order to recreate. As soon as the flood is over and Noah comes out, what does God do? He makes a covenant. And what's that covenant all about? No more reset button. Follow? That's Brit HaKeshet. Now, When something breaks, we have two options. Take anything you have, your refrigerator, your car, whatever. Something breaks, what can you do? You can fix it or buy a new one. God's creation broke. What did God do? Bought a new one. What did God promise to do now? Next time it breaks, I'm not going to throw it out again. What can God do the next time it breaks? He can't throw it out. Now he has to fix it. What's the next time it breaks? What's the next Goyim Chumash? Dor HaFlagah. It breaks again. How does God fix it? What's the next Goyim Chumash? Vayom Reshtem El Avram Lech Lecha. God picks Avram Avinu. You follow? But we say in Aleinu, L'takeinu Olam B'machut Shaddai. Now, God makes a covenant with Avram Avinu. More than one. I want to focus on Brit Milah for a very simple reason. Take a look in the next source, in source 3, in source 4. Brit Milah, how do we know it's a Brit? We'll see in a minute. Vayi Avram ben tishim v'shana v'teisha shanim, vayir Hashem el Avram, vayomer elav ani kel shaddai, hitalech lefanai ve'ayet tamim. Ring a bell? I call this wake up and smell the chumash. You follow? Does that ring a bell? Wake up and smell the chumash. It's a joke. Where's that ring a bell from? Yeah, Noach was an ish tamim, et Elohim hitalech Noach, and Avram is commanded hitalech lefanai ve'ayet tamim. That's not by chance. It's not identical, it's parallel. But there's a big difference between them. Noach is chosen for what he was. Avram is chosen for what he needs to be. I'll use that analogy to clarify why Avram is chosen. What came first? The fact that Noach was a tzaddik, and because Noach was so righteous, God decided, let's kill everybody else and start with Noach over again? Or did it begin that God decided, I want to recreate, and for the need of recreation, he chooses Noach as his partner in recreation, as a specimen? If you read Chumash, we don't have time to see it inside, read Chumash, it's clearly the latter. First got the last Mafter Parshat Bereshit, the beginning of chapter 6. Yeah. God's upset, Nichamti, God's upset that he made man, and Noach Matzachem Bein Hashem. And then, it's crystal clear. First God is terribly upset with what happened, and then he decides, I'm going to recreate. For what purpose did he pick Noach? For the purpose of recreation. Noach wasn't chosen forever. Noach was chosen for one job. He finishes his job, no more purpose in life, and what's he do? And that's half in jest and half seriously. That's the final story. That's the tragic story about Noach. Avram Avinu. What happened? Did God decide, Avram, what a wonderful tzaddik, what a righteous man, let's shower him with gifts and give him a special land and treat him special? Or does God say there's a need? Mankind is failing again, and I need something, some nation, to fix mankind. How's it working, Chumash? What came first? God's decision. Was Avram a great man, and therefore God chose him, I'm going to give you some great presents? Or did we begin with a need? But all the midrashim about Migdal Bavel, that Avram was there, that Avram was 48 when he recognized God, all relate to the same idea, that God first had a need. God wants a nation, and in order to form that nation, God chooses Avram Avinu. But I like to use an analogy, God decides to clone a nation. Avram is the first test tube, maybe. God doesn't take a ready-made nation. He's going to take the seed, Zer Avraham, and he's going to refine that seed in the test tube, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And we finally start multiplying the cells with the 12 tribes. And the womb, the surrogate mother will be Egypt. And we become a nation in someone else's land. And I just explained to you the Brit Ben of Tarim. And there will be a whole process of birth. But we don't become a nation until we get out of Egypt. That's the Yitzhak Mitzrayim. You can even refer to the water breaking if you really want to take it a step farther. No, it's been said before. Now, it's a birth of, we become a nation. We become a nation coming out of Egypt. Our forefathers are the seed. God decides, I'm going to clone a nation. And in the process of calling that nation, we find Brit Milah. Because that's going to establish the relationship. But notice again, let's go back now to Pasuk Yud Aleph. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, what do we have? In source number 4, actually, go back to source number 3 just to refresh your memory. Pasuk Yud Aleph, in source number 3, Bereshit Teretet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vakimotit briti itchem, v'loi od mabul l'shachet ha'aretz, that's the covenant. And zot ot ha'brit, et kashti natati banan. Look now in source 4, look at Pasuk Zayin. Vakimotit briti b'ni u'meinecha, u'bein zarcha acharecha, l'dotan l'brit olam, l'olochal Elohim. Identical wording? Is it preceded with pru or vu? Before Noah covenant, we had pru or vu? Do we have pru or vu at the beginning of Brit Milah? Sure we do. Ve'na briti b'ni u'meinecha, v'freiti otcha, v'abe otcha, v'freiti otcha b'mod mod. And God makes a covenant. And remember, Hitalech lefanai v'yetamim, Avram is chosen to be better. Avram is chosen for what he needs to be. And therefore, his chosenness is eternal. You should know something. The story of Noah is a story about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a story about Noah. You never notice the parallels? It's related to Mamad Har Sinai. When you read Bereshit, it's a foil for Sefer Shemot, for Matan Torah. The creation story is a foil for Matan Torah. To understand Shabbat. Look, what are the obvious parallels between the flood and Mamad Har Sinai? Just off the bat. I'm sure you must have noticed them before. Unless it's a terrible coincidence. What? 40 days and 40 nights, just by chance? 7 days beforehand and then 40 days and 40 nights. There's a Teva and a Teva. Motzachem b'nei Hashem. Who else is Motzachem b'nei Hashem besides Noah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Does God tell anybody? Does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll destroy everybody and make you a nation?
Yes.
Yeah. Same thing he tells Noah. What's Noah's response?
Okay.
And what's Moshe's response?
No.
That's not by chance, that's an incidental. The story of the Mabul gets us ready to understand Mamad Har Sinai. You can't read them like regular history, you miss the whole point. I'm not going to the issue of what happened and what didn't happen. I'm talking about how Chumash writes the story. There's intentional parallels between the flood and Mamad Har Sinai. But the Torah was given to us and Har Sinai. It prepares us for Mamad Har Sinai. Now, I'm trying to point out what's behind these parallels. We have a covenant with Noah. God says, no more reset button. The next covenant is how I'm going to solve the problem of no reset button. What do I do when something goes wrong? We're moving from a road of perfection to a road of tikkun. When something goes wrong, we have to fix it. For what purpose does God pick a nation? To fix it when things go wrong. What's God's plan? He wants to choose a model nation that's going to represent him. Look at Brit Milah, look at Pasuk Zayin again, and tell me, based on the parallel, what is the covenant and what's the sign of the covenant? Everyone noticed all the parallels? There's Pru Avu, there's Vakimoti et Briti, there's Beni Benechem, and there's an Ot Brit. In the rainbow covenant, the rainbow was an Ot. In Brit Milah, what's the Ot? The circumcision is the Ot. But it's not the covenant. What's the covenant? Look carefully. Take a look. What? No, we're such a Zionist. Eretz Canaan is not the covenant. It's a vehicle for the covenant. We'll get to that soon. Read it, simple Hebrew. Exactly. Pasuk Zayin. Vakimoti priti b'kulei liyot l'chal Elohim. You know it by heart. It's everywhere in Chumash. The covenant of Chumash. The covenant with capital T. Hey, idea is Liyot Lachal Elohim. What's the corollary that you think about to know Ed on Yom Kippur? Anu Amecha, Ata Eloheinu, Anu Panecha, Ata Avinu, Anu Ata Adon. Yeah, everything. You know. Anu Tzanecha, Ata Ra'enu. We say it in 20 different ways. The covenant in Chumash, it's Atem Tu Li La'am, Fonochi Ayel Lachal Elohim. We drink to it at the Seder. The fourth cup, don't we? Remember, the third cup is Gula, which gets us ready for the fourth cup. We come out of Egypt, take it to Har Sinai. Guess what's going to happen at Har Sinai? We're going to find the same thing. Therefore, now, just for those closet Zionists, Pasachet, V'netati lecha zachach rechet Eretz Kenan lachuzat olam v'hayiti lehem Elohim. In order for this covenant to reach fruition, what does God do? God sets aside a special land, the land of Canaan. It's not our land. It's the land of the Canaanites. It's the land of our destiny, not the land of our birth. Eretz Canaan is the land of our... God sets aside the land. It's not our land. It's God's land. And he gives it to who's ever worthy. Read the first Rashi and Chumash carefully. You follow? And God sets aside the land in order that this covenant can manifest itself. And that's, look at the Ramban here, that's exactly what he explains. And then, that's why Brit Milah is for all Am Yisrael. The men need a reminder for a very simple reason. When it comes to commitment, they're terrible. Just watch any movie. Now, when it comes to commitment, women by nature are committed to responsibility. Men tend to break it. But everyone is part of Brit Milah. The covenant is, you're my nation, I'm your God. Some people need reminders all the time. Now, just to prove to you that Brit Sinai is the exact same, is an extension of the same idea, I'm skipping to last week's Parsha, or a week and a half ago, Parsha Bechukotai, which for sure was given where? Remember? It begins in Parsha Bahar. In the positive side of the Tochacha, Ufaniti alechem, v'ifreiti etchem. V'beiti etchem, sounds familiar? V'akimoti v'beiti etchem. That's not by chance. It's the exact same words, you follow? There's a progression in Chumash from Brit Keshet to Brit Milah to Brit Sinai. V'achata v'yashan v'yashan v'gulei, pasak yiralaf, v'natati mishkini b'tochachem v'lo tigan nafshi etchem, pasak yirbet, v'italachti b'tochachem, ring a bell, v'ayiti lehem l'Elohim, v'atem yuli la'am. That's Brit Sinai. I can't make this covenant with slaves. Why not? Because you can't be my people if someone else is your boss. Smichat gula l'tfilah. Understand why? Without gula, I can't serve God properly. Gula is a process to fulfill Brit Sinai. The gula is not the goal. Gula is a step towards the ability to serve God. So I used simply those psukim to show you that Brit Sinai, the covenant that we make in Har Sinai, is an extension of the Brit that began in Chumash, the one with Avram Avinu. The purpose of that covenant is God wants the nation to work for Him, to serve Him, to represent Him. And like you say every week, every year, every day in Aleinu, twice a day, three times a day in Aleinu, the Takein Olam b'Malchut Shaddai, v'chol v'nei basar yikru v'shmecha. A whole other theme in Bereshit of Kriya B'Shem Hashem. We're chosen to make a name for God. God can't make that covenant complete with Avraham Avinu. He can initial the agreement because they're not a nation yet. You can't be a nation representing God if you only have 5-10 people. When you have a whole nation, then you can have a covenant. Therefore, we come out of Egypt. Remember? And now God finally can say, He can pop the question. Now let's read the covenant in Sefer, we'll skip 6 and 7. We'll return to them in a minute. And source number 8. I'm sorry, not source number 8. Source number 9. B'chorash HaShishi, that's what we're going to read this morning. We come to Har Sinai and God makes the proposal. Kot tomar lebeit Yaakov v'tagid livnei Yisrael. What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Tell Bnei Yisrael as follows. Atem ritem asher siti l'mitzrayim v'esadchem ha-kanfein esherim yavi etchem elai. Again, God's love is metaphors, isn't it? And it's almost a condition of Amal Har Sinai. You follow? That's not literal. I think that's called a metaphor. Now let's get to the covenant. Vata, im shemoa tishmu b'koli u'shmartem et briti. Something old or something new? If you're willing to obey me and keep my covenant, what covenant? If it's something old, it's brit avot. If it's something new, brit sinai. Guess what the answer is going to be? It's high note. It's the same thing. What's that mean? If you're willing now to accept the covenant as a nation, I couldn't pop the question before because you weren't ready for it yet. Now that you're redeemed and now that you're a nation and you're on the way to the land, are you willing to be a nation to obey me? And you'll be my treasure nation. Ki li kol haaretz. What's that? That's the Ramban again. Okay. Well, but what's ki mean here? Because all, what's the Aretz? Is the Aretz the road, or is it the land of Israel? So a Kabbalist will tell you it's the land of Israel. A Pashtun will tell you it's the whole universe. So what type of, what's the meaning of this phrase? How's Rashi explain? Anyone remember? Kili kol Aretz? Because it's mine, I'm great. How could you say no? God says this is a motivator. How could you say no to a proposal from such a great man, from such a great God? Ibn Ezra, on the mark, says exactly the opposite. Ki here doesn't mean because, but ki means even though. Remember, ki can mean a lot of different things. And it's intentional, that ambiguity is beautiful, because many times it carries a double meaning. Ibn Ezra says, even though I'm the God of all mankind, what am I doing? I'm making you special. Right on the mark. Isn't that Ibn Ezra? Even though I'm the God of all mankind, I'm singling you out, which is exactly Kedusha, in order to represent me. Therefore, if you say yes to this covenant, what will the result be? If you're willing to be my covenantal partner, then you will be a nation representing me. A Kohen is someone representing a God. A Goy Kadosh is a nation separated, designated to serve God. Like Shabbat is Kadosh. And Yerushalayim is Kadosh. A Mamlacha is a nation, a sovereign nation. We're not talking about an individual representing God. Malki Tzedek was a Kohen to Elyon. Remember, there's Potiphar, Kohen On. A Kohen is someone representing a God. The Chiddush at Har Sinai is not an individual representing God, but a nation representing God. You understand the difference? It's a mapecha, it's revolutionary. What's the advantage? A, it's quantitative, not more people. But it's also qualitative, in the sense that it can become eternal. Any individual, ad be'ev esrin, but a nation can be eternal. But more than that, if this nation is representing God, every human being has his individual identity and a national identity. You can represent God as an individual by how you behave. Read Parsha Kedoshim to you, which now fits in perfectly. Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. In fact, take a look in source 6. Where's that from? Ba'ikra. It says, ki ani Hashem amaleh etchem eretz Mitzrayim liot lachem elohim. V'item kedoshim ki kadosh ani. You follow? Why did I take you out of Egypt? Liot lachem elohim. The fourth cup we mentioned before. V'lakachta etchem li la'am v'ayti lachem elohim. Ba'ikra yutet. Daber kodah bnei Yisrael v'amatem kedoshim to you. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Followed by, sounds like the Dibro, doesn't it? Everyone's played that game. Find the hidden Ten Commandments and Parsha Kedoshim to you. Some of them are right there, some of them you have to look for. Isha Aviv Tirov, Shabbatai Tishmaru. And then, we did one in Shemot, in number 8. Doshim to you, because you're individuals representing God, therefore your behavior has to be above and beyond. Give me examples of Doshim to you. לא תלך רכי במחה, אתה בא לדם ריחה, לפני עבר לא תיתן מכשור, ואף תלו ריחה כמוך, we're familiar. There's a whole list of how an individual behaves. But in the Torah, we're also going to find laws that guide national behavior, how a nation behaves. How does a nation represent God? A nation has an army. A nation has political leaders. A nation has a judicial system. A nation has an economic system. How does a nation representing God act on the national level? There's a whole book about that. You know what book that is? It's Sefer Dvarim. Just read the book, it's all there. The laws of a king, how a king has to act. The book isn't telling us what political system is best. That's not God's problem, that's our problem. The Chumash is telling us how our political leaders need to act. Should we pick a king? Here's how he asked that. Use your head and apply that if you have a prime minister or whatever type of leader you choose. Everyone has a judicial system. Shoftim v'shotrim. Ours are special. V'shaftu otam mishpat tzedek. Dotetem mishpat tzedek tzedek terdof. We have an economic system. Every 7 years, all debts are annulled. We don't. Every 49 years, all the land goes back to its owners. We want to make sure the rich don't get too rich and the poor don't get too poor. There's a whole system of social justice, read Megillat Rut, which is based on Sefer Dvarim. Remember? You have to remember to forget when you're harvesting your field. Remember, Shikha, Lechet, Peya. We don't. There's a whole system which guides, as a guide or a Torah for how a nation represents God. If you don't have a if you don't have a land, you can't become a nation. That's the Zionist part. You follow? But the land is a vehicle. It's not the goal. The land is the vehicle through which we fulfill that. That's Brit Milah. In order to fulfill that, you have to be a nation. You have to have sovereignty. But now that you have a nation, you have a land. How do you represent God in that land? That enables you to do it. What laws do you keep? Those are laws of Sefer Dvarim that were given in the first 40 days in Har Sinai. Now, how much time we have left? You can't see the clock. Okay, 10 minutes. We have to solve the Shabbos problem. Just take a look in source 10, as long as we're going in order, just to sum it all up. Actually, not 10. No, we're not ready for 10 yet. I'm sorry. So let me summarize. What I'm getting at, based on what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Dvarim, the Aseret HaDvarim are part of the covenant. If Am Yisrael accepts at Har Sinai, we're willing to be a nation representing God, not just individuals, but a nation representing God, what do we need to know? What are the terms of this agreement? Mamad Har Sinai doesn't begin in chapter 20 with Perichaf. It doesn't begin with Onuchi Hashem Elokecha. It begins with the Brit, the covenant. Now that God made a covenant, someone has to read the Ksuba. You follow? Now that we said yes, we accepted the covenant, now we need to know the details. Let's go through the Ten Commandments now, and now you go back to source one. And I want to point out what's covenantal about the Ten Commandments, the ten statements. The first statement is not a commandment. It's a statement. Call it a commandment. It's not to believe in God. I like to translate it, I'm your boss. You follow? I'm the one who took... Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeticha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Lo'ot Lachan Elohim. Why did I take you out of Egypt? To be your God. I'm your boss. You have to follow me. Because God told them coming out of Egypt. The opening statement is, I'm the God who took you out of Egypt for a purpose. To be your God. To be your boss. Commandment number two, no moonlighting. I hope you use the word right. Moonlighting? What's moonlighting? You have one job. You can't run two jobs. You're not a teacher. You pick one God you're serving, and you can't work for other gods as well. It's exclusive. But part of this agreement is, if you don't worship me properly, if you don't serve me properly, what's going to happen? Boy, you're going to get punished severely. Where does it say that? Chinuchi Hashem Elokecha. Kelkana, Poked Avon, etc., the Sonai. On the flip side, if you do serve me properly, these are terms, those aren't commandments, that's a relationship. It's an intense relationship, it's Midat Adin. But God doesn't have that relationship with every nation. Every other nation, once a year, they get judged from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Am Yisrael, gotta be extra strict with them for a good reason. Where's Evan? We're serving him. He expects more from us because we have a big job to do. He'll reward us because in order to help us do our job. But it's a relationship that's being defined. They're not commandments, they're statements that are defining a relationship. You understand why the laws might be universal, but the relationship here is specific for God's nation. Commandment number three. Don't carry God's name in vain. What I like to say, don't do a lousy job. Don't mess up. Why were we chosen? What's Shem Hashem? Shem Hashem is God's reputation. It's not a technicality. Which name? Shem Hashem throughout Chumash is God's reputation. It's the biggest marketing scheme ever dreamt of. God picks a nation to market the concept of godliness. And our product is invisible, and we have to give it visibility. You follow the problem? How do we do it? How do we get the concept of mankind, how do we get the concept of God to mankind, and no one can see him? We talk about him to no end, don't we? Everywhere Jews gather, they gather, they say Kedusha, they say Kaddish, they say... They don't stop, they eat an apple, they make a bracha. Good news, bad news. You're always talking about God. Look in your siddur. Look in halakha. Everywhere you do, you talk about God. You're associated with God. Everyone calls you God's people. How do you make God's name good? It depends on how you act. If you act properly, it's a win-win. If you act poorly, if you're haughty and obnoxious, and you talk about God all day long, don't do many favors. Read the Tochacha. You follow? No. If we're ethical and wonderful, but don't talk about God, so we didn't accomplish anything either. You need both. We return to Shabbos in 3 minutes. That's three. For honoring parents, I call it the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Do I have that right? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree? They say that about kids, don't they? For good or for bad. But all through Dvarim, Banim Atem Hashem Elokechem. The Chumash uses all the time that we're, God is, on Rosh Hashanah we have that same idea. Im Kabanim, Im Kavadim. Our relationship with God sometimes is compared to a parent-child relationship, sometimes to a master-servant relationship. Along comes the Nevi'im and upgrade to a husband-wife relationship. Now, I want to talk about now the last five, which are clearly universal. Correct? The last five, Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov. I want to suggest that the last five is really one commandment, and it's all about Lo Tachmod. Because that's Judaism in a nutshell. God's goal for all mankind is Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov, Lo Taneh Berecha Yitzhaka. But we're God's nation. If I want to make sure that I don't come to murder, and I don't come to steal, and I don't commit adultery, where does all that begin? It doesn't begin with a knife. Understand? It begins with Lo Tachmod. Lo Tachmod is way, way before Lo Tirzach. But if my goal is to have those values If I want these values inculcated, you said, to all mankind, and we're the model nation, we're going to do Asu Siag Torah. Who said that? Asu Siag Torah. Remember Perkei Avot? That's where it all starts. I want to make sure we never get to Lo Tirzach and Lo Tinaf. Therefore, what do I need to do? We're God's nation. Don't even think about it. And if we have a nation, don't even think about it. The whole concept of halacha works that way. There's something important. We put a fence around it. We take precaution. Yeah. That you can. If it was first, you guys might wouldn't be last. The idea, I think, is, and that's why it's so much longer. Now, well, we're left with Shabbat. Shabbat, the answer is in our parallel. Because what was missing in our parallel? Vakimoti priti, Purvu. We're missing the old Brit. If Brit Sinai is an extension of Brit Milah and follows the pattern of Brit Akeshet, what's the old of Brit Sinai? Just look in Chumash. You know by heart from Kiddush. Look in source number 10. Vata, right after the Mishkan. Vata tedaber. Vata tedaber b'nei Yisrael. Lemor. Achad sheptatai tishmoru. God reminds us we have to keep Shabbat. Ki oti b'niu b'nechem. L'dorchem. L'dav ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. What's our reminder that God chose us to serve Him? Shabbat. Why is Shabbat a good oath? Just like God separated one day of the week, made it special, to elevate the entire week, God separates one nation, gives it a special status to elevate all mankind. Ki sheshit yamim, remember the Shomru B'nei Yisrael to Shabbat? Bein Yu Bein B'nei Yisrael, the same phrase. Oti le'olam. Why is it an oath? That's a double meaning, the key there as well. By keeping Shabbat, we have a message that God created in 7 days. But the reason why it's our reminder of Ramat Har Sinai is because it's the same concept of Kedusha. I separate one from the bigger group, I elevate it, give it a special status in order to bring godliness to the entire group. That's the concept of Kedusha, Voi Kadosh. Now, if Shabbat, that's Shabbat of the Mishkan, that's Shabbat with Kareg, that's Shabbat with Chilul Shabbat. That's like giving your workers a day of rest. The Shabbat of the Ten Commandments can be universal. Give your workers a day of rest. The Shabbat of the Mishkan of Isur Malacha. Now, if Shabbat is a symbol of the covenant, who can wear that symbol? Only what? Only someone who's part of the covenant. So if you're taking the symbol of the covenant and not a member of the covenant, what does Chazal say? A goy keeps Shabbat. I have mitzvah. You missed the whole point, you follow? Because you want the privilege and not the responsibility. You can't take the privilege without the responsibility. And that's what's behind the drash on a goy keeping Shabbat. But what I'm trying to show you, I said, time's up. I want to summarize. I'll send you for homework to the Rashbam, who talks about, in source 11, what mitzvot the avot kept. We did this here once on, should be on YUTOR.org, about 2-3 years ago. What mitzvot they kept, but Shitat to Rashbam, what's chukotai? He says chukotai are, down in the middle of source 12, what's chukotai? The fiikar pshuto shamikam, mitzvot hanikarot, the obvious commandments that God doesn't need to command. Kagon, look at the list. Now what mitzvot did Avram keep? Gezel, arayot, chimud, vidinim. Where do you get those from? Thank you. Any adds haknasat orchim? Why that's too long, but it's right on the mark. Kulam you know gim kolam atan Torah. If that's the case, why are they the Ten Commandments? Look what he says. Eles shenitchadesh v'nitparesh l'Israel v'kartu brit l'kaimo. Now we don't do them because it's the right thing to do. We do it because they're part of our covenantal commitment. Because we're representing God. We do it because it's right, but we have to do it even better because that's how we represent God. If God expects that from all mankind, we have to do that to a higher level. And that's part of Brit Sinai. The concept was already by the Avot, but now we're committed to do it for a double reason. A, because it's right, Ki Ani Hashem, and because we're representing God, Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem. I'm your boss. So what I'm trying to show you is that the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Statements, stem from the covenant. From covenant to commandment. I can't begin to appreciate the Ten Commandments if I don't understand that they stem from a covenant that didn't begin in Shemot. Shemot reaches its climax, but it began back in Sefer Bereshit. And that's what Sefer Bereshit is about. But Chumash tells it through beautiful stories with tremendous depth. But if we understand what's special about the Ten Commandments, they're the terms of a covenant between God and a nation chosen to represent Him. And that idea that I'm your God and we're His people and the Torah is a guide to how we act to follow God, that's the core, that's the key value and topic of the covenant. Therefore, as a Jew, we spend our entire life studying the Torah to know how to act better. Pay attention to Birchat HaTorah. Our study of Torah is to learn how do we represent better, how do we do the job, and there's always difficult questions, and it requires tremendous depth in learning, and that's Talmud Torah in a nutshell. I'll answer the question. When God goes from nation to nation, He's looking for a nation to represent Him.